You know, I'm not the only one single and ready to mingle anymore.
I am single and ready. A girl's got to eat.
Whoever this person is, clearly dissatisfied in his romantic life, right? Because if he was happy at home, he would not have the bandwidth or interest in pursuing whatever this is with you. Yeah, we got to get the guy laid or something.
But is the fairy tale that 19 other women are dating your guy? Like, I'm not sure how much of a fairy tale that really is.
Well, let's ask Michelle. Michelle, is that your fairy tale?
I don't know how many Bachelorette contestants would text a guy, I'll go out with you again, but you better open those fucking doors.
That's a good point, JD.
Jackie was like, this is not one you let go. If you're not going to go on the date, I will.
Jake did not fill out his intake questionnaire.
Well, you lost your chance. Now it's my turn with JD.
You know what?
Because I'll actually get the paperwork back.
The difference between he and I am, I'll dive in head first and I'll figure out how to swim while I'm in the pool. Jake strategizes what swim lessons he needs to sign up for to get ready to go for the first swim lesson, but then he needs to calculate the sun, the earth, and the moon and the right approach for the appropriate level of the pool before he even puts his foot
in. Yeah, and meanwhile, his wife is making out with the swim instructor.
Right.
That was the lifeguard.
This is so fascinating. The information contained in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as legal advice or a substitute for seeking legal advice. I'm Michelle Locke, and this is Love, Lust, Law. And today we are joined by our repeat guest, JD. JD is a Hollywood matchmaker who's actually written a book on dating. And if you tune into one of our previous episodes, we had her on where she dove into what Jake is looking for. She's going to dive into a little bit of me, a little bit more of Jake, and have some recommendations for us for what dating sites we should use. Uh-oh. Let's get at it. Welcome, JD.
Thank you. I'm really, really excited to be back.
I talked to Jamie this morning. My friend Jamie runs David Yurman. She's very heavily vested in what Jake's got going on. And she's like, I want to know.
Jake did not fill out his intake questionnaire. So after
the time limit on that, JD? What was the time limit? You said like 3 years?
Honestly, I had assumed by the time I would return, I thought I was going to like this morning get the mad dash, like, let me get it into her so she can't give me shit for not completing it. But you didn't even do that. So I'm like, how intentional about finding your person is this guy? He spent a while talking to me about wanting this in his life, but
Well, you lost your chance. Now it's my turn with JD.
You know what?
Because I'll actually get the paperwork back.
Yeah, we're going to get something accomplished here, Jake. So,
JD, I apologize pretty much every day of my life. So here's just another one for the fire.
It's not to me. You should apologize to your future wife because you're delaying meeting her. When I meet a quality person who I believe there is a person out there waiting to be found by them or vice versa, I don't envision like the specifics of someone's future, but I talk to someone like you who I get frustrated because I'm like, you're delaying whatever that incredible future is that you're going to have. You're getting in your own way delaying that. And so
what? Wait, what, Jake?
I'm not denying this. I fail people daily, Michelle. You know this.
But everybody I'm meeting, I'm like, there's your person waiting for you, and life gets so much more. And that's not to say, listen, there's a huge trend right now of people who'd rather be single, and we can talk about that. And that can be very empowering and wonderful for a time. But I'm a hopeless romantic, and I believe that even if you feel complete, even if you are complete, it still, as you say, goes up a notch when you invite more love into your life. And so I want that so badly for everyone. And I see that in your future. I know that however happy or not you are right now, I envision greater happiness in your future. And so you don't have to fill out the questionnaire. It doesn't have to be through me, but it's waiting for you.
I was on the spot when you talked to me, but everything I told you was accurate. I just took like 17 words to express 3. That's what I do. I overtalk things. But you both know that by now. I would tell you if I was hesitant. I've been hesitant in my life. I am not hesitant. I am ready.
Okay, so do you want my fix?
Yes,
I do. Please,
we want the fix.
Don't fill out the form. The form is more for you, so that when you're meeting with Lauren and I, we're not wasting your time by saying, "How tall are you? What's your birth date?" Like the straightforward things. It's just to get that out of the way so we can dive deeper on the Zoom intake. We'll just do that. We'll run through the questionnaire with you verbally, conversationally, and we'll do the other things we do. It'll just take a few minutes longer than if you fill out the form ahead of time. That's it.
So you don't want the beginning of, like, I think the third question was, as a small boy in St. Louis, I once dreamed about coming out west, finding the love of my life. You don't want any of that. No poetic crap that I was saving up to give you. Sorry.
I mean, we can... I love that, first of all. Some listeners will love that as well. All of that can be saved for our conversation.
Yeah.
I really just want to know your stats so that we have a general sense before we meet with you, when we're thinking about thousands of potential people to set you up with.
Wow.
We've narrowed it down more to dozens. So that when we have the conversation, we can figure out of those dozens we have in mind, because we've already ruled out people that are the wrong religion or don't want children or whatever the things are. When we've narrowed it down to people that on paper make sense for you, we can then figure out, well, who do we start with first based on the actual conversation we have with you? Maybe we throw them all out the window and it's actually someone else entirely. Maybe we add 20 more people to the mix that we're considering. But it's really just to get a jump start on us narrowing down the search for you. So don't try not to overthink it. You could fill it out ahead of time if you want to be a little more efficient with our time when we chat. But if you're really feeling debilitated in terms of filling out the rest of it, just shoot us an email and say, "I'm ready to meet you. Let's get this started. And I'd like you to walk me through the questionnaire yourself."
There are some listeners that are dying to know updates, Jake. Like,
you know, we spent a whole episode covering me. We already know where I'm coming from, what I like, what I don't like, my neuroses, my pluses, my minuses.
Yeah, we want
to. I think we should stop avoiding the subject at hand and really get to the meat of this situation.
I'm really actually excited for a multitude of reasons. One, living in the past is never a good idea. And I was, I think, to some extent, trying to not relive, but fix stuff that can't be fixed from the past, and kind of be like, and it goes back to owning your own stink. Like, I really just needed to realize that the past was bad, and anyone that was related to the past was toxic, and I just needed to move on from that. And then this all happened in connection with another event in my life that was some big betrayal from my position family members. And so I've taken a moment to step back and say, and you know, I'm almost 50. I talk about that all the time. I'm going to focus on me, and I'm going to focus on what is going to make me happy. And I'm tired of biting my tongue, and I'm tired of swallowing the shit sandwich to make everyone else more comfortable around me. And so I'm not doing that anymore. So like, I went on a date, really, really, really nice guy, but he didn't open the car doors for me. So I sent a message saying, "Hey, we want to go out again." I'm like, "I would like my doors to be open." "Okay, not a problem, done." Like, "Oh yeah, just communicate." So anyways, so yeah, it's time for a new journey, and I'm fucking excited about it.
Well, I'm excited for you. And yeah, I would love for you to keep me updated on how things are going.
I will. But let's get back to Jake.
Michelle wanted to get back to my failures, but I think before we dive into those, we know there's many of those. I think it's better if we steer back to you, and I'll tell you why.
Oh my God, I don't want to go back to me.
What's really healthy about Michelle?
Nothing.
Sorry. It's for the audience, Michelle. Let's give them the assumption.
The hope, the illusion.
The illusion that there's something about you that's hopeful, that's powerful, that's inspiring. Can we get there today?
Yeah, we can get there. All right. Game face on.
You know, I'm not the only one single and ready to mingle anymore.
I am single and ready. A girl's got to eat.
Yeah, listen, honestly, I nothing surprises me in this realm. And so
you too.
Are you someone who believes things, and I'm not, we can get into my philosophy on it, but like, have you, are you someone who believes things happen for a reason? Where do you?
Yes.
Okay.
I firmly believe that when one door closes, other doors open. And that has been my experience my entire life.
I've tried to flip the script on Michelle and say this, and we had a discussion. We did a Loveless Raw, which is sort of our off the hinge sort of discussion, right? And we talked about this, and Michelle was sort of, I think, ragging on me too for not filling out my intake form.
I was, correct, 100%.
We talked about this, and I tried to flip the script on this show, is instead of Michelle getting out there and thinking, who is going to be attracted to me? Who am I attracted to? Meaning, who is Michelle attracted to? So JD, if you could take Michelle, let's say sample, Michelle's single, ready to mingle, how would you work this process? Because I think listeners might want to know how they would board someone like Michelle. And that wasn't a double entendre, but it could have been in Michelle's mind.
So I'm smiling only because I usually have the inverse of this conversation. Most people know who they are attracted to, and they're so tunnel vision on that, that they're overlooking who's actively searching for them. So I usually have those conversations with clients. It's rare that someone's like, I have no clue what I like, please guide me, right? So I welcome that conversation.
My picker's broken, clearly. And so what I liked is bad. So we're just going to put my picker to the side.
Well, here's the thing. So I think your picker is still important. And what tends to happen in these situations, and by these, I mean, whether you are coming out of a marriage or relationship that ended, you stop trusting your instincts. And that can sometimes cause you to self-sabotage and accidentally overlook a wonderful candidate for your romantic life, because you no longer trust yourself. So I
just, 100% don't trust myself. 100%.
Yeah, so I want to be clear, like, whether you have a broken picker or not, maybe you do, I don't want you throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So
okay. Tall. Got to be tall.
Well, okay. You're taller, right? How tall are you?
5'7" and a half. Okay, hang on. Let me explain the tall thing, because Jake laughs at this every time. Because every woman says, oh, I want tall, dark, and handsome.
I did before I met my husband, who's just shy of 5'9". So we can, let's totally have the height conversation.
Right, because every woman, oh, I do have a squirrel moment. Is it true that as a man, you're not supposed to put, like, on your profile for dating a picture with you and a cat? Is that, like, rule number one, you don't do it?
I would say
Jake's like,
general,
that's so squirrel.
I honestly, and I hate to keep being the person that's like, I'm the reverse. I say the reverse every single time because I'm not a huge devil's advocate person. I actually find it tends to be more off-putting to men when women are showing photos of their cat as opposed to a man showing photos of their cat. I think it tends to only be an issue when there's allergies involved. A lot of times I have more women come to me and they're worried about the guy having a dog because it's such a huge commitment that, like, I had a client who his dog had separation anxiety and it became a huge issue in his relationships because he couldn't go out for more than an hour without his dog howling and the landlord would go crazy. So, like, he couldn't really go on proper dates. That's an extreme version, but people love the ability to travel. They see a dog in a photo and they're like, unless they're a huge animal lover, which then it's a big bonus, if someone's even remotely neutral on the subject of pets, a cat for a man can sometimes be better than a dog that is tying them down. So I tend to hear that.
100%.
I've never heard this in my life. All I've ever seen, I'm just going to tell you both from a male perspective.
Yeah.
Is if a man is close to any sort of living, breathing creature with fur, they're basically going to have success dating. I'm just telling you, this is literally what I've heard.
I didn't hear the word. Dating?
They'll have success dating.
Oh, success.
Because they have and affection for animals. And I'm just telling you, like, in my, at least in my circle, everybody loves dogs. Everybody there's not one woman that I know that doesn't love a dog, want to be, I'm just telling you, but I've never heard the reverse. That makes, well, I can't eat, I don't even have a plant to water, so I can take off at any time. That's flexibility, I guess, is good in that way, but that doesn't mean I don't love animals. But I think that what the man and the cat picture, that seems like a little bit of an offshoot, and I've never heard that, Michelle. But
I was having this conversation yesterday because I was saying, "Oh, I've got JD coming back on the podcast. Like, I can't wait to talk to her." And he's like, "Well, ask her about like the dating stuff." He's like, "Because what I hear is if you're a man, like it's like." Known, like you do not put yourself with a picture of your cat on your profile because then women are not going to like you or swipe whatever direction.
I think it's only women who have allergies. And Jake, okay. To your point, I think with a dog is great if you're meeting someone in person with your dog. Like it's the easiest way to have a woman come up to you and like, "Oh my God, can I pet your dog?" Like it's great. It's a conversation starter, all of that. It's a babe magnet if you're out in the neighborhood walking your dog. Online, I'm just telling you, like, in terms of what I've heard and
this
seen.
This is so fascinating.
If it's between the two, I have heard more complaints about a guy, like, trepidation about a man having a dog over a man having a cat. Now, that's a separate conversation from, is it okay to have an animal at all? I think overall, people love when someone has an animal. I'm breaking down, just I don't see as many people having problems with a cat versus a dog. I hear more
a dog, yeah, because dogs are a lot more work.
They're a ton of work, and a woman who's looking to have the attention on her and the relationship, sometimes they see it as a threat to that. They want to maybe get a dog together one day in the future, but sometimes, not all the time. And if a woman has a dog, she's like, is my dog going to get along with their dog? Like, it's a whole thing.
That I've heard in terms of the cohabitation factor, yeah. In terms of, or, and also what kind of dog you have. That apparently is a personality thing. Well, Michelle, you like big dogs. What if you meet somebody with a small dog?
I don't know that I'd go out with someone that owns a small dog.
That's fair.
Here's why. You have to be able to handle my dogs.
Oh, so JD, you can never date Michelle.
Yeah, we're never going out, Michelle. I'm sorry.
I just, like, I had a little Dachshund, a miniature Dachshund growing up. Her name was Wiener. Great dog. Great dog.
How appropriate. I'm sorry. It is.
Well, do you want to know who named her?
Who?
Yours truly.
Of course you did.
My mother tried to call her Abigail. I'm like, I'm not calling the dog Abigail. So I was like 16 years old. Wait, so we named her Wiener.
Wiener was a woman? A girl dog.
It was a female miniature Dachshund, and we called her Wiener. And boy, did she answer to that. But yes, I'm the one that was responsible for that terrible moniker.
I just thought it was a girl dog.
Oh, no. And Wiener was, anyways, she was something else.
I'm going to use that clip. Sorry. Michelle's too busy. She's looking for her husband at Home Depot lately.
I know. Okay, so we had that conversation. And Jake was like, because apparently that's a trend, JD. It's I didn't trend. Know this. And so we talked about it. I'm like, I'm not going to Home Depot. Jake's like, well, you can find Foreman energy. I'm like, I don't want Foreman energy. No, nothing wrong with being Foreman. I want owner energy. Like, I need someone that can match me in drive, in desire, in like chutzpah. Like, I need someone that's got some bigger balls than I do.
So I'm going to be bold and venture into a very polarizing topic that I think this pertains to. So the last time I was on, we very briefly talked about feminine versus masculine energy,
Correct. But
we didn't really do a deep dive there, right? And I am curious. So we talked about how you are you do have very, very feminine energy, but there are parts of your personality that are more alpha. And I'm curious, do you adjust at all on a first date? And I think I already know the answer to this, but on a first date, do you adjust the volume, like the levels of either, or do you go in on a first date, just your authentic self, like however much alpha versus feminine you tend to be, or are there adjustments?
Okay. So I've only had like one first date since like 2000. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I have enough of a sample to appropriately address that question. That being said, I do adjust because doing what I do for a living as a litigator, you have to be able to read the room, right? In order to be really good at what you do, you've got to read your audience and read what's going on. So is there adjustments? Yes. I think there has to be. So yeah, no, I would adjust. Although I'm still me, right? Like, you're not getting rid of the voice. You're not getting rid of the laughter. You're not getting rid of like some of the, just it's very much me. But I'm a whole lot, and I'm not going to pretend not to be on a first date to be more palatable to someone. I mean, am I going to be as extra as I can be, like Jake's scene? No, because that's not fair to that poor sap. But, you know, I think it would be like a bait and switch to be that much different from who you really are.
Interesting.
And so, I believe in being authentic for the most part.
No, and I, listen, I'm a huge fan of authenticity. I also have a lot of like alpha energy in me in addition to my feminine side. So I find it very, very relatable. What I will say is, actually, I had this conversation recently with Cami Crawford, who does the Relationship Podcast. And she had this expression that she uses with her friends, which is stop putting your dick on the table, which
I love that.
Right? It's amazing. And she's someone who also, I think, like us, is like, yeah, I can't take credit for it. But I was like, I use this in my life. And I find that to be really true in the dating mm-hmm. sphere. And I don't think it automatically means lacking authenticity or being deceitful, hiding who you really are. I think there's certain, let's forget energy, topics on a first date that maybe is it if you, went through a really traumatic, if you had a really troubled childhood, let's say, are you lying to them by not bringing that up on a first date? No. It's something.
No, you gotta get the fish hook in first before you
can. Okay, so the fish hook. So I think statistically, it is not debatable that you're more likely to get that fish hook in by leading with more of that feminine energy on a 100%. First date. Yeah. So yes, I was just curious because I do find most of the women I work with are crushing it at work. They have to lead with that alpha energy at their job for the most part, depending upon what they do for a living. But that is where it really comes out. And they're tired of having to lead with that energy on dates. They want to come home. They want to relax. They want a man to step up and have that alpha energy and take care of them. And they can lean into their feminine. But to
100%.
But to do that, typically those alpha masculine men find when there's competing energy early. And I think a lot of those men want it and respect it to have that dynamic in a relationship. But initially meeting someone, they want to lean into their masculine as much as they are wanting the other person to lean into their feminine. I have to tell you, I cringe when I say these things because it's not what I want the world to be like. I don't think it's fair. I am all for like, just go be yourself every single time. I'm all about being as authentic as possible. But having done this enough, I've come to realize that you're not lacking authenticity to just highlight certain aspects of your personality or energy more when you're first meeting somebody. And I always talk about the jar example with my husband where like, I can open a jar if I really struggle and I'm like grabbing like a tool or whatever and banging on the cat, like I can open the jar. Like I think I've made him believe that if God forbid anything happens to him, I will not know how to go through life, right? I can do it. I can do all these things. I'm very capable, but it's kind of sexy when I struggle and I see him do it in 2 seconds and I know it makes him feel good. So just out of habit, like without even thinking about it, I'll just hand him a jar because I'll try for half a second and I'm like, it's going to be easier for him than it is for me. And I like to see him do that. And I think a lot of times first dates are like that. I was just thinking about the example of like, you want a guy to open the door for you. How do you get him to open the door for you without communicating that in a more
without sending a message way? Afterwards saying, by yes. the way, you want date two?
Because this is what happens, because we're so used to making decisions and being the producers in our own lives, in our jobs, and making shit happen because we're really good at it and we know what we're doing. But at the same time, I think it's about, like, I work with these women who want those things to happen, but the way that they are executing it is not hooking in the fish that they want. And so is it okay with you if I use that example?
I love it.
Okay. So that particular example, if you on the second date, and there's like 900 ways I'm thinking of alternate versions to what you did, right? If on the second date, you like ran over to his door and you opened it for him and he was like, oh, thank you. Are you opening doors now? And you're like, no, I'm just mirroring, like I'm modeling behavior for you because this is what I love. And you make like a joke out of it. Or if you, I think there's like playful ways, even without doing that, right? If you're just the next time he goes to drop you off, for example, you just sit in the car and he's like, is everything okay? Yes. And he's like, you know, maybe make out for a little bit because sometimes the linger in the car, that's what women are indicating, right? But when it's time to leave and you're not leaving and he's like, everything okay? And you're like, oh, I'm just waiting for you to open that door for me. You know, like, I just think there's light, more feminine ways.
Are there more subtle, there's more subtle ways for me to convey a message as opposed to, hey.
And that's not to say, like, the guy you were on the date with, he might be like, wow, it's really sexy how bold and confident she is. I think there is something to that, and that is who you are authentically. But I also think you'll get the outcome you want doing the other ways as well. And it's not...
I got date two.
Yeah. Like, it's... But in terms of, like, hooking them in a way that's, like... I don't know this guy. I don't know if he is even the energy you're looking for. Some guys need guidance. Some guys can lean into their masculine more easily than others. And I think some just need a nudge or a reminder. But when you do it in an alpha-esque way, it makes it, them have to step up so much bigger to kind of be that energy you're looking for, because they have to out alpha your alpha. And again, I hate saying these things, just commenting on what I've observed as opposed to how I think the world should be. But I do believe...
Listen, what we like to say as women, we can be our boss bitch at any time of day, not attract the partner that we want. I think that's misguided, because we all play roles to get what we want.
It sounds so great and it's so empowering, and I wish that's how the world worked. But I coach these alpha men, and it's really sexy to them to be with a woman who lets her hair down and is wearing a dress and is in her feminine. And what I will say that is a yes and to this conversation is what has happened is a lot of men slowly over time are, as a society, becoming less traditionally alpha, because we're wearing those hats a lot more. And just by virtue of us moving through the world together, we're kind of getting to the point where we're sort of on the same playing field energetically. And there's a choice we can make. We don't have to be women who want those alphas. We could start really loving the men as they have become and want that. And if we recalibrate our expectations, we're like, you know what? We're more alpha than outwardly than our predecessors. That may mean that the type of man who complements our personality has a little less alpha in him. My husband loves musical theater. Like, you know, like there's aspects to someone's personality. Like he's going to cry in a movie before I do, right? I think he's really alpha in some ways, just like I'm really alpha in some ways. and we're both, I'm not going to, he's not feminine, but like more sensitive or like less.
He's more, he's got more emotional EQ than your traditional alpha men.
Yes. He has such a high EQ and it's so sexy to me. His EQ.
Emotional EQ is the sexiest thing. Anyone listening, you men, you, and my position is you can be an alpha man and still have emotional EQ. The two are not mutually exclusive.
They are not, but it is really, really rare. And what I'll say is there's that yes and where we can change what we're looking for, or if we're not going to do that, because I think men, the conversations I've been having with guys lately is they are finding it really unfair. They're like, okay, so women are sort of becoming what we used to be, and we're expected to still be above. We have to earn more than them still, even though there are fewer, you know, opportunities to do so. We have to be more masculine energy, even though a lot of the women now lead with more masculine energy, and they're feeling like it's deeply unfair. It's creating this like subculture of men that are undateable, right? They're undesirable. We're not wanting to, they've turned themselves into a pool that we're not going for. So I think there's a world where we open our minds up to what we're open to energetically, or we stop putting our dick on the table and we get guys that are more alpha than us because we are leading with an energy that's less than, and it's easier for them to out alpha someone that's not being as alpha initially. Anyway, again, kind of hate that I'm saying these things, but also these are the realities of what I'm seeing out in the wild.
The women that I deal with, like my colleagues, my professional women, and I have some baller boss female friends, colleagues that are just phenomenal what they do. But most of us, is I think a general rule, and maybe a generational thing, but at least for my generation, I still want to come home and be my feminine. I have no problem leaving the HBIC hat at the office and coming home and saying, sweetheart, can you please rub my feet? I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Like I have no, and I enjoy it. Like I enjoy, but does it take a conscious decision on my part to walk in that door and say, I'm leaving the boss hat elsewhere and I'm just going to go be the woman? Yeah, it takes a conscious decision, but I got to tell you, so far I'm enjoying it.
I just returned from Italy, actually. I officiated a wedding. Wow. I love officiating weddings. It's one of...
Is it one you matched? That's what I want to know.
So I have, not to her ultimate person, it's someone that I have set up in the past. She's also a dear friend. So I would be disingenuous not to add that. But I love officiating weddings. And she actually had an incredible story in that she was very altruistic and was trying to set up a friend of ours who was very burnt out from the dating apps. And she said, look, you have to be, and this is totally my spiel all the time, you have to be findable for the right person. So our friend Jackie was like, look, you're burnt out. I'll run your dating app profile for you. All you have to do is show up on the dates I tell you to go on. And my friend was like, fine, but let me at least see a photo. Tell me a little bit about someone and I'll say yes or no. So my friend did all the legwork for this other person. And so she was actually going on some dates. But enter Sergio from Southern Italy. And Sergio, this manufacturing engineer living out in California now, was someone who matched with my friend's profile. Jackie presented it to our friend. And our friend, this was one of the ones she declined. She said, I just don't think he's for me. And Jackie was like, and my friend had declined several. Jackie was like, this is not one you let go. If you're not going to go on the date, I will. And so Jackie explained to him, actually, I've been running my friend's profile. Here's who I am. And he said, sure, I'll go on a date with you. You also seem wonderful. They went out and, yeah, just officiated their wedding. And so you never know where you're going to meet your person. And it's just always good to have that taxi light on.
Yeah, you got to go out and do it.
Yeah.
I want to say something is that, JD, this is why... Okay, because you're such a crafted and expert storyteller, like you understand how to navigate and solve problems, let's say, when it comes to writing stories, right? In terms of plots, in terms of character arcs and things like that, that really comes in handy here. Every time you set people up, it almost turns into like a romantic comedy in a way, because think about this. Your husband, Dave, was a similar situation, right? You were in a scenario where he kept being set up, kept nothing right, nothing right. You're like, you know what? I'm going to take the reins here and I'm going to try this out and see if this works. That's a romantic comedy, okay? It worked, happily ever after. But you look at these sort of situations, you set up a storybook in a way that other things don't accomplish. Like a show like The Bachelor is above and beyond fiction and fantasy.
Correct. It's not real.
It's, well, we know that, but the problem is this, is that it sort of ingrains in people's heads of what they should expect. It basically enforces the fairy tale so much so that it becomes something that is almost an unachievable thing for both parties to be involved.
But is the fairy tale that 19 other women are dating your guy? Like, I'm not sure how much of a fairy tale that really is.
Well, let's ask Michelle. Michelle, is that your fairy tale? Like, Michelle's a perfect, like, bachelorette kind of contestant. And let's.
No, I'm not. No, because I'm not nice.
You are nice. You're actually too nice at times.
I don't know how many bachelorette contestants would text a guy, I'll go out with you again, but you better open those fucking doors.
That's a good point, JD.
She's a character and deserves her own TV show, but would she be a contestant on The Bachelorette? I think she should be The Bachelorette, right? But in terms of, like, casting the ones competing, I feel like she would just...
Oh, God, no. Now, Jake, you got a man's perspective?
Do I have permission to speak, ladies?
You do.
Okay, thank you. Here's what I want to say, is that one of the challenges that I've had in the past is sort of getting caught up in what the atmosphere is like. If you watch enough TikToks, if you watch enough Instagram, if you, you know, check out the websites, check out the stories. I use the same thing, and JD, you know this about Hollywood. You know when people say, oh, they're not buying scripts, they're not selling, they're not making movies, they're not making... That's complete bullshit. Because by the time we hear that information, there's always something moving, always something evolving. I'm not trying to date the world, I'm trying to date a woman, okay? I'm not looking at the entire atmosphere like everybody you bring into my world is not going to have necessarily the mandate talk about height, money, personality, looks. It's specific. But if you get caught up in that cycle as a guy, it can be really discouraging. And I think oftentimes people will use that as an excuse not to show up. I mean, I ultimately, for a woman I'm dating and pursuing and interested in, I will show up. There will never be a moment where I will not. I will go above and beyond for that woman. Okay, I'm just being honest with you.
He does. He's a good guy.
Well, and this is not, you know, praise Jake and, you know, put him on the throne that you're going to be carried out with your
thunder. By Thunder Down Under.
But the reason I'm saying this is that I think oftentimes is that, you know what, part of it is a guy accepting the challenge. If that's the atmosphere, find the person that you got to navigate to and make yourself rise to the occasion. And I'm not saying everybody can do that. I mean, I've talked about this in the last episode. I often think, am I good enough to date somebody? Am I going to live up to their expectations? And also my expectations of, you know, you have this idealized version of what you want to be in a dating situation and then ultimately a relationship. You know, I'm talking about marriage and kids and everything else like that. But I also realize is that you got to live in the moment. And JD, you mentioned this last time, is you're more concentrated on who someone is now and if the other person where they're at now are a match, not Jake 6 months from now or 6 years ago or whatnot. And that's where I get caught up a little bit is like, well, I have this dream, but it's not matching my reality. And so, you know, but in my reality, I want a woman. It's not about, you know, I can listen to stories all day. I can re-listen to your book for the stories that you craft, JD. And so that's what I'm looking for. So I think that as a guy, oftentimes it can be discouraging, but look for individual moments. Look for, don't just like give up before you even try. And
says the guy who has not filled out a questionnaire. Like, I think we spent an hour.
Oh, I love JD for calling you on your shit.
Yes, because you're saying all of these wonderful things, all the things we want to hear, which is, oh yeah, like I want a strong, powerful woman, so I'm going to step up my game for her. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that is debilitating for a lot of people. We spent an hour basically talking about, you know, the last time we chatted, that your insecurities around where you're at in your career, finances, all of these things are preventing you from meeting your wife, who won't care about those things, right? But because society is telling you that you need to out alpha, you know, like that is, you're in your head about it unnecessarily. So I feel like you're actually highlighting my point in that I don't agree that's how it should be, right? I will shout from the rooftops that I don't think that's how it should be, but I think case in point, you are reluctant to fully be intentional about dating beyond just your words because of everything that I'm talking about.
And that's a really good point, but I'm going to tell you where my perspective is I am driven and passionate about the person, not the pursuit. My excitement will come from a person. The block is not getting passionate about the pursuit. As I mentioned before.
But everything, you can't meet her without the pursuit.
This is the conflict. This is why my therapist gets paid so well. My words match my idealized version of who I am in a relationship or dating. But if there is no one right in front of me, this is what I'm talking about, is that when it comes to that pursuit, I will always find other things to block that or challenge that. But it has nothing to do with society. It's my own internal processing. As I said
before,
where
does your internal processing come from? It's been guided by life, the society, my parents, in which you grew up in.
God.
1980s movies and soundtracks.
There you go. Say anything. Boombox. But then we learn he's a stalker. So what can we do?
I don't know. If I really like someone, they were pursuing, they could still do the boombox. I'd be okay with that.
If somebody shows up in a Trans Am and a boombox on your lawn, Michelle, you're calling the cops. Don't get me. Come on. you're talking RO immediately. You know what I'm saying? Or Psych-Eval. But let's move.
It depends.
Guys, do not do that. That's not the way to Michelle's heart or ways to other
things. No, it's not. And do not send me like DMs with various pictures of body parts. I don't want to see it.
No, that's not the thing. But JD, to your point, I accept that challenge. But I'm also saying that in terms of like, you can survey women that I've dated or been in relationships with, right? I have no issue with that. I mean, not that you're going to do that, but if you wanted to, I have no problem them sharing whatever testimonial or whatever. But what I'm saying is this, and Michelle knows this, I'm slow to commit, but when I commit, I commit.
Oh my God. It's,
but this is a real thing. The reason I'm not avoiding it, but I'm taking a painstakingly approach because I'm in my head, I'm just telling you how I calculated this. When I give you this, I don't know who it's going to go to. I don't know who you're going to share it with. You know, we've got the episode, but that was me on the fly. Like you could make an argument like, well, he's off. I was not expecting that. So that's what I'm saying.
Which means it was an honest response. That's the best part of it.
It was an honest response, but also there's a lot of stuff into what I want to provide and present to you. I am single. I am looking, but you're calling me out for not having the capacity to do something that's blocking the step. I accept that. I mean, I shouldn't.
I don't know. It's a lack of capacity. So you have the capacity. Well, you have a lack of the follow through to get her the questionnaire answered. The difference between he and I'll dive in head first and I'll figure out how to swim while I'm in the pool. Jake strategizes what swim lessons he needs to sign up for to get ready to go for the first swim lesson. But then he needs to calculate the sun, the earth, and the moon and the right approach for the appropriate level of the pool before he even puts his foot in.
Yeah, and meanwhile, his wife is making out with the swim instructor.
Right.
That was the lifeguard anyway.
Lifeguards are okay too. I had a thing for lifeguards back in the day.
At this point, keep your eye on the prize. She's waiting for you. Yeah. Maybe she's listening to this podcast. Maybe she's not, but mm-hmm. She's waiting for you. And she's not just going to like knock on your door. You have to go out and find her.
And here's what I'm going to add. As much as like there are alpha women out there and as much crap as I talk, can I tell you honestly, Jake, from my perspective, I talk a big game of, yeah, I'd like someone that can match what I do. But at the end of the day, that's the least important thing for me.
I'm going to remove the level of stressor off this and I'm going to fill out the stats. And it may not be sort of my soliloquy of poetry, what I imagine.
Soliloquy of poetry. That's impressive language.
But, well, thank you. Thank you. I looked it up before. You say use ChatGPT before we come into a session. Jake, do not come unprepared and make sure that you're
verbatim. We need a soliloquy from you today, Jake. I can see it now.
I will have something to you by Monday, JD. I promise you this. This is a commitment. This is universal.
And he will.
You understand, when I came off that session, not only was I so pumped, I listened to your book over Memorial Day weekend. It was very inspirational. That probably set me on a course like, okay, this is a damn masterful storyteller. So whatever I present to her, it better be something indicative to give her a little more of who I am, not just what I was on that episode. Because again, it wasn't a sandbag. I was comfortable doing it, but there were moments I'm like, I really got to think this shit out. So it's an overthinking problem that I'm getting through. But as I said before, when I commit, I've already done it. Monday, you're getting something.
Awesome.
Cheers. No, we're not getting something. We're getting the completed packet to JD on Monday, not just something, Jake.
I'm getting the completed packet.
I can't even imagine what your online dating profile looks like. Do you even have one or has it been too overwhelming?
No. We have his from the Yahoo Personals. We have it.
Do you want to see my Yahoo Personals profile back from the
Please share it. Please share it.
I would love to see that because it just is adorable, but... Are you currently on apps?
No, nothing. I'm clear.
Yeah, because, you need to be. She's waiting for you. What are you doing?
I'm here with you guys.
Like, do you tell your clients to get on the dating sites?
I do. So I'm not only a matchmaker. I'm not only a matchmaker. I'm a dating coach. And it is...
I assume that. Yeah.
It's a really high statistic. Like, that is how most people are meeting. The dating apps are a minefield of shit. It's still the easiest way to meet someone. And 99% of the people, it's going to be atrocious. You're going to have funny stories for your friends. But inevitably, just given the sheer volume of people on it, at some point, your wife, your future husband, they are going to be looking for you and get frustrated that they don't know where you are because they haven't met you yet. Mm-hmm. At some point, they're creating a Hinge profile or a Raya account or something. Don't do Raya.
So let's say I'm going to go sign up. Who do I go sign? Where do I go sign up?
I would recommend starting with, you said, I'm like taking certain things into consideration, geography, demographics. I would start with Bumble for you, Michelle. Jake, I would do Hinge.
Why?
Interesting.
Again, just... crunching the numbers, knowing like, okay, my clients who are late 40s and up, once you hit a certain age, let's say, and you're nowhere near this, Michelle, my clients that are like in their mid to late 60s and up, I have clients into their 80s. For them, I'm like, do match.com, start there. Facebook dating is weirdly amazing for them. I don't know why. But
that's
Michelle,
a little concerning because I'm now getting requests for Facebook dating, like to sign up for it. I was like, no.
Yeah, it's a huge thing right now for a much older demographic than what you are. But I would say for you, Bumble, I just find that women at your age are finding more success there and also knowing where you live. Just I think Bumble would be helpful. Jake, Hinge, I think at your age and demographics in general, the most quality women in the age range you're looking for tend to be on Hinge. Currently, it can change, but currently that is.
But current trending shows.
Current trending. But also I know that it's going to take you way too long to get a profile that you feel like authentically portrays you, that in a year from now, you're still not going to be on it. Yeah. Get yourself on the damn.
Can I submit to you first? And then we go from
there. No. I think, Jake, you and I, in addition to some other stuff we're going to do this weekend.
I do, by the way.
Yes. You're going to set up Hinge.
Yes. And the next time I'm on, whenever that may be, I will literally punch them up live, like with you two. And it's going to authentically portray you both. And it is going to draw in your future person. It's going to be.
Oh, done. We're doing this, Jake.
Okay.
But we're still on board for your potential personal matches, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. And I
wish... We got to cast that net.
Yeah. Michelle, my database isn't big enough where you live to... Because in a heartbeat, like, you're phenomenal. I would be so jazzed to set you up. If you're open geographically, we can maybe talk, but it's... Okay. All right. So then you should fill out a questionnaire as well.
Have man will travel. That's Michelle's motto.
Okay.
I have the ability to travel. Like, and someone that I would be looking for would probably have the ability to travel as well.
That makes sense.
And I'm so busy Monday through Friday. I got shit to do on during the week, right? Not a date.
All right. So we'll sidebar two on that front. But yeah, I love doing online dating sessions with people. Because genuinely, I want to be the hub where I am literally matching every single person in the world. But realistically, my database is never going to be as big as the one on Hinge or Bumble. So I want you set up for success. And Jake, you read the book. I didn't want to neatly tie up in a bow, like, every single person I work with ends up being married to someone I personally introduce them to. Part of the reason coaching I find so fulfilling, and I know you had this conversation with Tara recently, right? Like, it's, I get to feel joy even when someone meets someone outside of me, because maybe a conversation we have unlocks something or leads them in a certain direction. My hands are less tied. So as a coach and not as a matchmaker, I want everyone on the apps and I can help them navigate it. I don't think it's the only thing. I think there's also this other category of, what are you doing out in the wild to meet your person as well? Don't just sit home swiping on the toilet. But it should be all these things.
It's for you.
It's not for me. I don't got that kind of time.
She's taking quick poops.
Who's got time? It's a
flop and swipe for Michelle. Plop and swipe. Plop and swipe.
I don't understand. Total side note. We're going to edit this. Why men spend half an hour in the stupid constitutional every morning? I don't understand. I got stuff to do.
How many men
waste time doing that?
Are you seeing that has spent inordinate amount of time in the bathroom? Most apparently.
From what I know of you both individually, you're amazing catches and humans. And so when I see that, it's very hard for me not to, like, I want to be instrumental in helping you get there, because whoever ends up with you both are going to be extremely, extremely lucky people. And so I genuinely believe that, or this would not be interesting and rewarding for me at all. So,
well, it's a good, like, case in point, because, you know, the proof's in the pudding. And so, Jake, I'm doing Bumble. You're doing Hinge. We've got a date tomorrow to set it up.
We are going to do it, but let me.
But not tomorrow.
But not tomorrow. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set it up for you.
I'll accept that, I guess. All right. You know, we'll go. You know what? Let's take some risk. We're always taking risks here. I probably am more excited to work with you than any website or any person I've ever talked to about finding a match, to be fair. Honestly, uh-huh. I'm not even joking.
No pressure.
No pressure, but I think she should marry you whenever you get married. This is fun. Like, out of, you know, life is so serious and there's, with all the stuff that's on, like, the news and whatever else, like, it's nice just to have a fun conversation, right?
No, I agree. It's always refreshing with you both.
You never know what you're getting into with either one of us. JD, if you can tell our audience where they can find all of your wonderful contact information.
For sure. So my social media handles are at Matchmade in Hollywood. My book is Your Last First Date, Secrets from a Hollywood Matchmaker, wherever you get your books. And my matchmaking website is L, as in my business partner, Lauren, LJMatchmaking.com.
Well, we will make sure we drop the links in our show notes. So thank you so much for coming today on Love, Lust, Law. If you want to find out more about me, you can follow me on all my social media profiles. I'm an attorney, Michelle Locke. Just remember, Michelle is with a 1L, and you can thank my mother, Margot, with no T for that. Thank you for listening and subscribing. Y'all have a great one.